Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Thank you so much, Ben. Really appreciate you guys. It's amazing the people who serve in Darlington and Thomas at the back and the others who've been here early, week in and week out serving, coming early to serve, and then on days like today, being here even earlier than the rest of us to allow us to enjoy God's presence, to have moments of worship. Really want to thank you guys and honor you guys, and I'm going to just grab this guy quick. So glad you're with us in church this morning. Not everybody has the privilege of being in Pretoria on the 25th of December. Some other people this morning are dusting off sand from their feet and just washing off salt off their bodies and other unpleasant things that they are having to go through. And you get to just be nice and gentle here in Pretoria. It's great that you've come to join us, and hopefully if you haven't gone away yet, you'll have a moment to break away a little bit over the next few days or early in the new year. One of the thoughts that when you think of Christmas, what do you think of? Don't put up your hand, but how many of us are thinking food right now, okay? Sweets, presents, gifts. So I grew up with, my mom's birthday is tomorrow, the 26th of December. So Christmas for us was always an interesting time because we'd have Christmas Day with family and all of that stuff, and the next day we'd have another party because it's my mom's birthday. And then I got married, and Janetta's mom's birthday is today. So kind of we had a party thing yesterday to do a little bit of Christmassy thing, and now today we're having a birthday, but not like a fake celebration of Jesus' birthday, but like Janetta's mom's real birthday. And then tomorrow my mom's thing is she goes overboard. She is totally over the top. That's her thing. So I'm going to look like Father Christmas if you see me on Saturday, because tomorrow we have to eat. And the competition is to see who can eat the most. You know, it's one of those things. And so Christmas, every one of us, we have a different recollection of Christmas. We've got Santa Claus. I don't know how many of us know. You know Santa Claus, the Santa Claus that we know today with the red jacket, the black boots. Guys know where that comes from? Who knows where that comes from? A Coca-Cola advert. Coca-Cola started the modern trend of Santa looking like he did. Obviously, the legacy and the stories of Nicholas, all of that, that's got stories behind it. But we've all got these different recollections. Some of us have Christmas trees. Some of us have white Christmas memories. I don't know, Luann, you're probably the only one around us here with white Christmas memories. Lots of them. Most of us, we don't have white Christmas memories. We've got warm swimming pool, watermelon, lychees, mango Christmas memories, brine Christmas memories. We've got all these different things we do, but I think one word that all across the world today, we sang it this morning, is the word joy. There is something joyful about Christmas. And that something joyful is biblical. One of the hard things about navigating as a pastor Christmas is just this complete mixture that we have, that there are beautiful Christian elements in the Christmas culture that we have, and then there are some decidedly pagan and ungodly things, consumeristic things, and kind of trying to navigate between all of that. But we see this beautiful passage here in Luke chapter 2. It's the birth of Jesus, in a sense, the Christmas story. Not going to read all of it, just a few verses here. From verse 8 in Luke chapter 2, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby to where Jesus was about to be born, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, which interestingly is the standard response. Every time in Scripture a human sees an angel, this incredible fear comes upon them. And then the angel was like, always, you don't actually need to be afraid of me. I'm actually a good guy. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Say, good news, great joy. That is the Christmas story. Good news, great joy. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Great news, great joy. Christmas is meant to be a time of great joy, and not just Christmas. The coming of Christ is great joy. Yes, there is great sorrow. Yes, there is great sadness. Yes, there is the reality for every you and every one of us. We'll look at that in a moment of our fallenness and our brokenness. But the message of joy is that our brokenness is not the end of the story. Our hopelessness, our fallenness, our sinfulness is not the end of the story, because there is a Savior. I want us to take a few moments this morning, in the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to just take a few moments thinking about joy. We could spend a lot of time thinking about joy. I actually looked it up. My friend, ChatGPT, he tells me there are more than 200 occurrences of the word joy in the ESV. Joy is a major biblical theme. If you expand that to include words like joyful and rejoice, that's about 450 references in Scripture. That is a lot of joy found within our Bibles. And so we're obviously not going to look at all of it, but for this morning, I want us just to think. We think this sing this beautiful song, you know, joy to the world. Great joy. This morning, I'm wanting to remind us that it's not just joy to the world. It's also joy to your world. Joy to my world. When Jesus came, yes, he came great joy for all people. But Jesus came for great joy for you. We read in the book of 1 Thessalonians, always be joyful. Always. I remember a whole bunch of years ago, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, probably spoke about this passage using some examples. It was a student service. It's a whole bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds in the service. Some of you might even have been in that service. I just remember this so well. And I was saying to the guys, you know, always find something to be joyful of. Maybe your car has just been stolen. What is our initial response to that? We can say, God, I'm so upset. God, I'm angry. And all of those are right human responses. But a part of us can also take a moment and say, Jesus, thank you that I had a car to be stolen. There are many, many people all around who don't have cars. So my car was stolen, that sucks, but at least I had a car. And so I can rejoice always. We're going to look at that a little bit in a moment. Always be joyful. Some translations say rejoice always. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Why? This is God's will for you. I want us to hear this morning, God's will for you is to experience joy. Our camp next year, the family camp, just as an aside, the camp venue is called Joy Unspeakable. The Bible speaks about that. We will receive joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a joy that is our inheritance as followers of Christ. You and I are meant to be able to live every day joyful. In the midst of trial, in the midst of struggle, joyful is meant to be the primary disposition of every Christian. This is God's will for you. In the psalm, the psalmist encouraged us in Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day God has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He's speaking about the salvation. It's speaking about Jesus being crucified. And so there's context to it. And he's saying it seems to be a bad thing, but we are going to rejoice in it because it is the day God has made. God has made this day. And so we choose to rejoice in this moment. Joy is largely a choice. I'm sure all of us have met people who it's almost as if they choose not to be joyful. Has anybody met someone like that? There's always a complaint. There's always a problem. There's always a challenge. It's always a disaster. Scripture is, that's not God's will for you. God's will is always to be joyful. So I want to hold before you this morning, God wants you to be a joyful person. Part of the message of Christmas is great joy for all people. God wants you to experience an outpouring of His joy, to live in it. But joy is a choice. We can wake up every morning, have an intern, she's not here this morning. We have early morning meetings sometimes, not crazy early. And she's like, Philip, you're always so joyful, always so full of energy. I restrained myself when she said that because I wanted to say, and you're not, get saved. You see, there's a choice to say, I'm going to be joyful today. Every one of us, every morning when we wake up, I can choose joy. Come what may today, I am going to choose to celebrate. From time to time, some people say, but this has happened and this is so bad and that is so bad. And I say, yes, that is. It is bad. This thing that happened, it is really sad. But Jesus rose from the grave. And so as sad and as heartsore and as broken as this real moment is right now, there is a greater truth which far supersedes this brokenness. And Jesus is risen from the grave. And I'm not going to let this moment, even as hard, as sore, as difficult as it is now, steal from the joy of the greater truth. That Christ is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And not only is He seated at the right hand of the Father, He has chosen to make me His child. I'm going to rejoice in that always. Whatever circumstance I find myself in, let us always be a people who are rejoicing. That is God's will for us. In 1 John chapter 1, John is writing as an eyewitness, and I love this, but he says why he writes and what he writes in the start of his letter. He says, we have seen and heard, we declare to you. In other words, I was an eyewitness. I was there. I've touched with my own hands, he said just before that, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy is only found in fellowship with the Father and the Son and His people. So much of the world is looking for fullness of joy, and we're looking for fullness of joy in the next gadget we buy, or in the next movie we watch, or in the next job promotion we get, or in the next bottle of alcohol we buy. Don't know how many of you are sport people. I enjoy sport a bit and the story around sport. And so there's a big cricket tour going on in Australia at the moment. Unfortunately, our guys aren't playing, so we've got to watch some others. And the English team is not doing fantastically well. And so when sports teams start losing, I think we've picked this up by now, even if you're not a sports person, pressure gets ratcheted up on those teams. Pressure from the media, people's jobs on the line, people want to see coaches fired, captain replaced, all of that. And so the team, in between two matches, took a couple of days off and they went to a resort town. And apparently there was quite a lot of drinking that was happening at these few days off. It's been so interesting to me to read the reports and the stories. And the one person, you can go and read the news, I'm not going to mention his name now, just because I find it tragic. He was saying, we need to have empathy with these people. They're under a lot of pressure. They need to take a break. And so we can excuse them a couple of nights of drunkenness. And as I read that, my heart was just, God, that is so sad. It is so sad that our little piece of joy that we can find when our team is losing is found in the bottom of an empty alcohol bottle. How sad is it when we live our lives and we find joy in carnality, we find joy in brokenness? John writes and he says, I want your joy to be full. Some other translations will say your joy to be complete, your joy to be perfected. There is perfection of joy that can only be found in fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with His people. There's a whole other teaching in that that so many of us think, and you here this morning, so you don't think that, but we think fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son, that's fullness of joy. No, there is a fullness of joy locked up in the people of God. And as we engage with that, there is a fullness that we experience. And John writes, his whole letter of 1 John is written because he wants to invite people into joy. Walking with Jesus is a joyous moment. Come back to that in a moment. Just keep that thought. One more verse and then we're almost done for this morning. Galatians chapter 5. I love this. But I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Maybe this we can send to that English cricket player who was quoted in the media. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no law. True joy can only be found in the Jesus way. We're not going to find true joy when we are walking in the ways of the flesh. We cannot find true joy when we are trying to solve life ourselves. We cannot find joy when Jesus isn't the center, when we are not, as this translation or the wording is here, as we are not walking in the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit when we're led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That's the Jesus way. When we are following Jesus, that is the key to fullness of joy. It's not something we make happen. It is something that the Holy Spirit makes happen inside of us. Yes, we need to choose joy. We need to say that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We need to be choosing to be open to joy, but the source of the joy is the Spirit of God. In the same way that the source of love in our hearts is the Spirit of God, the source of joy is the Spirit. The Bible says so clearly, we only love because He first loved us. In the same way, we only joy because He first joyed us, if you excuse the shocking English there, but the point comes across. There is joy in us only because God pours His joy. We sang it this morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I allow the joy that Jesus has to flood into my heart, it flows through my life. Joy is only found, though, in the Jesus way. We are not going to discover or find joy anywhere else than in following Jesus. Every other seeming element of joy in our next adrenaline experience or our next tattoo or the next thing we do in a seeking of joy is going to end empty. Except if we embrace the message of Christmas, that Jesus has come to bring great joy to all people. Great joy has always been God's purpose and God's plan for your life. So I want to pray for us in just a moment. My prayer is going to be a simple prayer. My prayer is that you would walk in great joy. That as we head into 2026, 2026 would be a year of joy, to be marked by joy every moment of every day, because as we read in Thessalonians, this is God's will for you. Joy is the inheritance of every believer. Matthew 13 is a passage which since I've come to Christ has always been so near to my heart. It's a whole bunch of stories of the kingdom, and here is literally just one verse that summarizes to me so much of the kingdom, and so often it's misunderstood. Because we'll see that the focus of this verse is joy. See, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So often we think coming to Jesus is a hard thing. It's a difficult thing. We have to give up all of this stuff. I love this verse because it completely blows that theology out of the water. I love how it says, because of joy. The joy in that field, the joy that this man discovered in this treasure, this pearl that he discovered. The next verse speaks about a pearl of great price. It tells the same story. He goes, sells everything to buy the pearl. But he doesn't do it out of obligation. He doesn't do it out of duty. He doesn't do it with a heavy heart. He's discovered something that is worth infinitely more than everything else in his life. And he says, I have discovered the kingdom of God, and because of joy, I'm walking away, turning my back. I love that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. The world before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. I love this verse, in his joy. In his joy, not in his mourning. It's not hard for him to say, Jesus, you are worth more than everything else. It's not a heavy thing. Yes, it's weighty. Yes, it's big. Yes, the implications are huge, all of that. But it's not a weighed down, oh, this is the hardest decision I need to make. No, it's a simple decision. I have discovered a treasure that is worth more than everything else, and for joy over it. For joy. I turn my back on the ways of this world and I pursue Christ. There is a joy. So I want to hold before you and I pray a simple prayer. That if we have not yet discovered that joy of following Jesus, getting excited about Jesus, about if laying down everything for Jesus, if giving up everything for Jesus, selling everything for Jesus, is a heavy thing, a weighty thing, a hard thing, a disappointed thing. My prayer for you is simple. I pray that you would have a revelation of Jesus. You see, if it's a weighty thing, a heavy thing, a hard thing, it's not because you have done something wrong as such. It's just because you haven't seen Jesus yet. You haven't discovered the joy of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the magnificence of Jesus. We sing these beautiful songs. From time to time, we make a YouTube playlist and we share it. Because they're powerful songs, powerful theology. And I hope and pray that as we sing them, they become truth. But imagine if we really believed what we sang. Imagine if these words that we sang, Lord, I lay down my crown at the feet of Jesus. If we really believed that. All of those words that we sing, and when we pay a lot of attention, you might not know this, but we pay attention to the songs we sing. We don't just sing the newest, best song that everyone's listening to on YouTube. Sometimes we do because it's a good song, not just musically, theologically. We actually pay attention to the theology. It's important that we are singing truth, and we are singing truth that points to Jesus because it shapes and forms who we are. But I wonder sometimes if we just took the lyrics any Sunday or today. Today is Thursday. We take the lyrics. We ask ourselves, do I really believe this? That Jesus truly is worthy of it all. We're saying, you are my joy. Jesus, you are my joy. Not my wife. I love my wife, but she is not my joy. Not my car. I bought a new car this week. That's not my joy. not my TV, not my sports team, not my bank account. I love my family, but they're not my joy. There may be a way through which Jesus provides joy, but Jesus is the source of the joy. They're just the agent that brings it. They're not my joy. Jesus, you, for joy over it, I went and sold everything, because guess what, Jesus, once I've seen you, nothing else matters. So can we stand this morning? I would love to pray a simple prayer. I want to pray a prayer of joy over you. A prayer that you would know Jesus as the giver of joy. And that you would follow him like this person who's discovered the kingdom like a treasure hidden in the field. I have a friend, pastor friend, who when he came to Christ started going to church. And his church journey, I can't remember the exact details, he was staying quite far away from where the church was. So every Sunday, he would walk the dirt road for an hour to get to the tar road, to hitchhike for half an hour's drive to get to church, and then reverse again in the evening. And so he'd stay at church the whole day because it just makes sense. Walk an hour, hitchhike half an hour, every Sunday. Never missed a Sunday. He's a pastor now. And so from time to time, people come to him and say, church is too far. And then he's, let me tell you a story about church being too far. And you ask him, no one told him, no one forced him, no one was checking in on him. Why did he do that? Because life was there. He discovered Jesus. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the people. Just one story, we can tell so many. What happens in our hearts when we truly discover Jesus as not just the source of joy, but the source of life and everything that matters. I want to pray that for you. Can we close our eyes? Jesus, this morning, we are just so thankful that we can celebrate, Lord. We celebrate with the whole world a message of good news, of great things, of great joy for all people. Thank you, God, that today, in basically every community and every culture, every country, your name is somehow being exalted, Lord. And I pray, Jesus, that today people would have a revelation of you, that Jesus won't just be another name, another moment, but Jesus would be the name. Jesus would be seen to be the King. I pray that today that there would just be a wave of salvation across the globe in Jesus' name, Lord. And Lord, I pray for every single one of us here in this room and those who are watching online. I pray, Jesus, that you would pour joy into our hearts. Lord, we hold on to your promise that this is your will for us, that we would always be joyful, God. And so I pray, Lord, that our joy would be rooted in our revelation of Jesus. I pray that we would see Jesus, and that for joy over Jesus, nothing else would even come close. That Jesus, because we have seen you and because we have tasted you, because we have experienced you, everything else will fade away. And we would find fullness, completion of joy in fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son. I pray for grace for us, Lord, that you would lead us away from the works of the Spirit, Lord, and the works of the flesh, Lord, and you would lead us into the work of the Spirit. May we truly be led by the Spirit. May we discover the joy of walking in the Jesus way. And we pray this in the name that is above every other names. The name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The name today that is on the lips of every person on this globe and the only name that truly matters. Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.